Good morning and a very blessed Resurrection Sunday to you today. No one can read the New Testament, even casually, without coming to four magnificent conclusions. What are those conclusions? A, Jesus was born. B, Jesus died. C, Jesus rose again from the grave. And D, he's going to return. Praise be to God. This is the hope of the Christian faith, the one in whom you and I believe, Jesus, the risen Savior. There are two points that we need to think about, particularly during this tail end of the Easter season, so to speak, because all during this past week, we remember all that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. It's called the Passion of Jesus or the Suffering of Jesus. So we think about this, and then we think about, particularly on this day, the resurrection of our Lord. We know that Jesus died, that Jesus paid for your sin and paid for mine. He conquered hell, death, and the grave, all for you and for me. We have been redeemed. Redeemed means we have been saved. The price has been paid for you and for me. And when you and I look at the Gospels, we discover the record of this redemptive or redeeming event. Then when we move on to the book of Acts, we see where those who were there experienced the redemptive event, the redeeming of Jesus for us. And then as we look at the epistles, we have further explanation as to what happened actually regarding our Savior's resurrection. We are reminded of the words that Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Just say that with me. Jesus is Lord. Once again, Jesus is Lord. So let's hear the scripture, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. Now, we can easily say Jesus is Lord together, and we all say that, and we understand what it means. But one thing that we can't do is look into each person's heart to see if really each of us believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and is alive forevermore. Yet the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that seems to be step number one, and step number two, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So we can see then that believing in, understanding the resurrection of Jesus is vitally important, and it is our belief in who Jesus is and what he has done for us, and that he rose again from the grave, that assures our salvation. You will be saved, the scripture says. This morning, we're going to read two passages of scripture. The first is the Easter story, and it's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We're familiar with this passage of scripture, and then we're going to read Paul's instructions to his protege, Timothy, in 2 Timothy. So let us hear the word of God as found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you will notice that when Paul is writing to Timothy, there are three positions in life to which he refers. He refers to a soldier, to an athlete, and to a farmer. So let us hear the word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmers should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Here's the trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amazing passages of Scripture. As I said earlier, the epistles, the letters that we read in Scripture, explain even further about the resurrection of Jesus. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminds his protege, young Timothy, that Jesus is alive, that he was raised from the dead. What Paul writes to Timothy is the ultimate message for you and to me. It's really important that you and I know deep in our heart and soul that Jesus rose from the grave and he is alive forevermore. It doesn't hurt for us to remember that he's also going to return someday. So often, that part people seem to forget, but we know that he's coming back yet again. When we realize about our risen Lord and fully understand that, yes, he is alive forevermore, it gives us courage to live and even comfort to die, because we know that we are in his hands and we are going to see him. So as you looked at our text this morning, there are three basic truths that we need to keep in mind. We're going to talk about the fact of the resurrection, the force of the resurrection, and the faith of the resurrection. So we are to remember the fact of the resurrection. If we do not believe in the resurrection, then I believe that we are not Christian. A person who claims to be a Christian must understand who Jesus is, what he came to do, that he died, he was buried, he rose again from the grave, and that he is alive forevermore. Remember, we read this in 2 Timothy, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, and Paul says, this is my gospel. This is the truth to which I hold. This is the good news that I want everyone to hear. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. In these few words, the Holy Spirit has instructed Paul to instruct Timothy of this fact. And in this, we see that there is a prophetic, historic, and a dynamic evidence. Without doubt, especially in terms of the spiritual, there's an awful lot of speculation and an awful lot of muddled thinking that goes on. It's amazing to me that people who call themselves Christian don't really believe in the resurrection, or people who call themselves Christian who really don't know that Jesus is coming back again someday. There's a lot of muddled thinking going on out there. Therefore, it's very important for you and for me, especially on this Resurrection Sunday, to examine and reevaluate the evidence. Well, what's the first evidence? There is the fact of the prophetic evidence. The prophetic evidence. In other words, something that was predicted many years ago ultimately came true. We note the words by Paul to Timothy when he said that Jesus Christ descended from David. The King James Version says the seed of David. The very fact that Paul reminds us of this particular Old Testament passage and proclaims the king coming was coming through the line of David. Now, we read this in 2 Samuel. and 2 Samuel, Samuel himself, the prophet, is speaking God's words to David. He says this, "When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom." These words are pointing to the then coming Savior, the then coming Messiah. In fact, we find that the very first prophetic utterance is found way back in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3:15. One theologian has said that if we never had Genesis 3:15, we would not have John 3:16. That is the first prophetic utterance of a coming king, of a coming Messiah. We won't get into all those details at the moment found in Genesis 3:15. It requires a little explanation, but when we have the explanation, it's absolutely clear. This was the first prophecy about a coming Messiah. There is the fact of prophetic evidence. There's also the fact of historic evidence. And you might say, what historic evidence? Well, the greatest historic evidence that we have of the life of Jesus, including his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and his return, would be the four Gospels. The four Gospels are united in the message they give about Jesus, and united about the message of Jesus being raised from the dead forevermore. People who read even the closing chapters of the four Gospels discover about who Jesus is and what he has done, and discovers about his resurrection. And millions of people have come to faith in Jesus just by reading the last few chapters of each of the gospel records. In Acts we read, "With great power the apostles continued to testify to what? To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all, upon all who were sharing, and upon all who received these precious words about the resurrection of Jesus." Later on, Paul wrote, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." According to what scriptures? According to the Old Testament, and according to the portion of the New Testament that had been written at that time. Yes, there is fact of the prophetic evidence, there's fact of the historic evidence, and there's fact of the dynamic evidence. What would that dynamic evidence be? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And Paul said, "This is my gospel. This is my truth. This is the foundation on which I build my message. This is the foundation of the good news that I want to share with you." Now remember, all of the disciples, the apostles, all saw Jesus in his resurrected form. And then Paul, come lately, he also experienced Jesus on the road to Damascus. He saw the resurrected Jesus. He spoke with him. This was a message that was loud and clear that the apostles were presenting throughout wherever they traveled throughout the world. Now, when he says, "This is my gospel," this does not mean that this is a gospel that he made up. No, no, not at all. He's simply affirming the fact that all of his belief is based on the fact that Jesus rose again from the grave and is alive forevermore. And that's why we worship on a Sunday. We worship on Resurrection Sunday, and we worship on Sundays, the first day of the week, all through the year. Why? Because that's the day on which our Lord Jesus rose again from the grave. Just meeting on Sunday in itself is a testimony of the resurrection of our Lord. You and I are to remember the absolute fact of the resurrection. But we are also to consider the force of the resurrection, because that force applies to you and to me as well. Paul wrote to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is not just for Timothy. This is for every believer in Jesus Christ. We are to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to stand, we are to strive, and we are to serve Christ. These words are vitally important to us. Stand, strive, and serve. Because of the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, you and I are enabled. We are enabled by his Holy Spirit, to stand for him, to strive for him, and to serve our Lord. Paul says, Timothy, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Frankly, I'm speaking for myself, maybe for you too, that none of us really enjoy hardship. But yet Paul suffered hardship, and many people today are suffering hardship for the cause of Christ. But then we remember what Paul said to the believers in Rome: in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Through him who loved us. Who is the him who loved us? None other than Jesus. Paul uses the illustration of a soldier, of an athlete, and of a farmer. We need to stand like a soldier. We need to obey what we've been told to do, and we are to act like a soldier, not be distracted, but to do what we are to do. We are to stand like a soldier. We are to strive like an athlete. You know, if an athlete is running toward the finished goal, they are going to continue to strive and push and go. And that's what you and I need to do. And we need to serve like a farmer. As a Christian, we have a job to do, and that calls for faithfulness. We are to admire the work that past saints have done, Paul and everybody else, from Paul on to where we are today. I'm absolutely impressed with farmers. When we think about it, I don't know all that farmers do. Any farmer that meets me knows that I'm not a farmer. But when I meet a farmer, I am impressed by what they do. A farmer must prepare the ground, that we know. Sow the seed, water the earth, do whatever pruning needs to be done. And then he exercises faith. All this work he's put into it. And then he sits and waits while the crops grab hold and grow and become what they are to come. And Jesus proclaimed in seven most powerful words, that is English words, and he was telling her about the parable of the talents, and he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what a farmer receives. A farmer receives these words when that crop grows. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." They were faithful to the end, faithful to the time of harvest. Now, I've often thought, oh, Lord Jesus, wouldn't it be absolutely wonderful whenever that day comes that I get to glory and I see you face to face? I'll be face down on the ground trying to look up at you. But if I ever hear you, Lord Jesus, say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," believe me, that will make my days for all of eternity. To get the kind of accolade from Jesus to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's why you and I, as believers in and followers of Jesus, we need to stand, we need to strive, and we need to serve. You and I are to remember the fact of the resurrection. You and I are to consider the force of the resurrection. It is a force all unto itself. The resurrection is true. Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave, and he did it for you and for me. And praise be to God, every one of us who place our trust in him as Savior and Lord, we too will conquer hell, death, and the grave. And we'll be with him forever. That's a wonderful force, the force of the resurrection. And then we are to deliver the faith of the resurrection, the faith that you and I have. We're not to hold on to it. We are to deliver it to others. Paul says this: "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect," people who are going to become believers, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. As believers, if you and I are convinced of the fact and the force of the resurrection, then we simply cannot be silent about our faith. It is evident that Jesus Christ was a living reality to the apostles, to Paul, to Timothy. Paul was prepared to preach the gospel, whatever the cost and wherever the call. This is precisely what he wanted Timothy to do. Do you just suppose that this is something that the Lord wants you and me to do as well as his followers? On this Resurrection Sunday, as we gather around the Lord's table in a few moments, let's keep these things in mind, that we need to preach the gospel, whatever the cost, and we need to preach the gospel wherever the call. What does it mean about whatever the cost? That's quite a statement. When referring to the cost, Paul is not necessarily referring to a financial cost, but for him, he was suffering mentally and spiritually and physically and socially. He was under a lot of abuse in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in our scripture reading today, Paul says he's referred to as a criminal. Now, things aren't quite the same in Canada today as they were in the Middle East at that time. In the Middle East today, there are still a lot of difficulties about the presentation of the gospel message. And whether you believe it or not, even in our own country and in North America, the presentation, the proclamation of the gospel is being hindered at every single opportunity. We are not being persecuted yet in the same way that people in other lands are being persecuted. But believe me, there is a day coming when Christians are going to be persecuted for their faith. And are you and I then going to stand up for our faith and stand up for our belief in the resurrection? That is the question, whatever the cost. And then, wherever the call, Paul went wherever he was called. I wonder if you and I are open to responding to God's call, to the call of the Lord on us to share the gospel message with other people. We may be called to a distant land, or we may simply be called to do more where we are. You know that we have this challenge in our congregation that we are to pray that the Lord would give to each of us at least one other person during this coming year to whom we can share our faith in Jesus Christ, so that they too will come to know Christ as Savior. They too will come to put all of their trust and all of their faith in the resurrected Lord. One thing we need to keep in mind, as one theologian said, we don't need to pound them over the head with the word of God. Rather, we need to love them into the kingdom. Loving people into the kingdom. You and I may not be able to preach like Peter or pray like Paul, but we can love people. We can love people in such a way that they will want to know, what is it that is within them? Who is it that is within them? I want what they want. That's the kind of love we ought to give. So what's the message of Easter? What's the message of Resurrection Sunday? What's the message of every day that you and I live our life, striving in the cause of Jesus, serving him? What's the message? Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. Amen. It is a fact that we must see. It is a fact that we must seek. And it is a fact that we must share. May God enable us to enter into the true meaning that Jesus lives. Praise be to God.